This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Governor Pat McCrory defended his views on climate change on the national Sunday shows this week.
My main argument is, let's clean up the environment. And as a mayor and now as a governor, I'm spending my time cleaning our air, cleaning our water, and cleaning the ground. And I think that's where the argument should be on both the left and the right. And if that has an impact on climate change, good.
But where he really felt the heat was on his relationship with his former employer, Duke Energy, in the wake of their coal ash spill. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us now to talk about that and other politics in the state. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Not much to talk about here politically. You know, you got in trouble for that. You did a nice fundraising spot, and you said there's not much to talk about in politics in North Carolina, he said ironically. And we had an angry listener who said, what, doesn't he read the papers?
I mean, obviously, North Carolina is like ground zero for one of the great campaign stories of 2014. And I say, you know, tongue-in-cheek, boy, there's not much to talk about this year. And he said, what are you crazy? There's so much to talk about.
So Governor McCrory went on Face the Nation and This Week with George Stephanopoulos earlier this week, and he said environmental concerns are his top priority. What about that, Ken?
Well, it's funny. You know, he was actually asked about climate change. The reason Governor McCrory was on the national shows was because of the winter storms that North Carolina was experiencing and his role in dealing with it. But, of course, both hosts brought up comments McCrory made, in 2008 when he first ran for governor. Talked about that, you know, this, you know, global warming is really in God's hands, which, of course, is part of that ideological argument about climate change and global warming. Anyway, he skirted the issue completely. He said, look, the real question is, what do we do about it? And he said, well, you know, we have to keep the air clean. We have to keep the water clean. We have to keep the ground clean. But well, of course, we have to balance it with economic development. But ultimately, that the question, that longstanding question about whether climate change is real or not, or whether it's man-made, or whether it's in God's hands, he skirted that question completely.
All right. Well, another headline featuring the governor this week involves a trip to the grocery store. Tell us about that, which got a guy fired, it turns out.
Well, you know, apparently he's looking for onions, as we all do when we're in Charlotte, and a store clerk approached him, and he realized he was Governor McCrory, and so this clerk said to him and said, "Oh, you're Governor Pat McCrory? Thanks for nothing." And then, according to this store clerk, the governor was yelling at him, and according to the governor, the store clerk gave him the fingers. Ultimately, the governor and his staff complained to the grocery store and got this guy, Drew Swope, fired. Now, it sounds like it should be a forgotten incident very quickly, but I noticed that Charlotte Mayor Patrick Cannon immediately reached out to this guy and said, maybe I can get you a job. So obviously this politics with searching for onions is politics.
We will follow the career of Drew Swope following his. But, you know, this does get to something that McCrory has developed a reputation as a thin-skinned politician who takes umbrage at the drop of a hat or an onion in this case, the flick of a finger. So I guess this does have implications going forward as he starts thinking about a second term.
Well, it does. And of course, you know, we've seen that with Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey. Half the state felt that he was just, you know, a bully and arrogant and thin-skinned. And the other half said that, well, you know, what we like about Chris Christie so much is that he tells it like it is. He doesn't let anything, you know, anything get by him. So sometimes you have to balance those two competing measures in your personality. And right now, at least in this onion scandal or onion gate, as we like to call it, Governor McCrory is not doing too well with this.
Let's turn to another story. Greg Brannon, the Kerry doctor who is running for Kay Hagan's seat on the Republican side as a Tea Party favorite, was in court this week. Tell us what happened.
Well, this is it, and this is the last thing Greg Brannon wanted because, you know, first of all, the filing deadline is coming up. He said, I'm still in the race no matter what. I'm running not only against Kay Hagan, but I'm running against Tom Tillis and the Republican establishment. But at the same time, he was in this civil suit. Apparently, he made false, at least according to a jury, he made false or misleading statements to these investors in this tech startup. This is back in 2010. And then these two investors lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the jury found that Brannon made these wrong statements. So this is the last thing you want with a primary coming up in May, but Brannon says the campaign will continue.
All right. Representative Renee Elmers will move to another race now. Republican from North Carolina's 2nd District in the U.S. House. pushing for legal status for the nation's undocumented immigrants. And again, she's in a bit of a primary race herself. Tell us about this. And also, I guess when she's talking about this, we're not talking about full citizenship, but some kind of legal status. Tell us more about that, Ken.
Right. Last June, the Senate passed a bill by overwhelming margins calling for the path to citizenship for these 11.5 people who are here illegally. Speaker John Boehner, and many of the Republican leadership in the House said, well, the goal should not be citizenship. It should be a path to legal status. And Congresswoman Renee Elmers has signed on to this strategy. But this is still anathema to the Tea Party. They say this is still amnesty. And of course, every time a Republican mentions something like a pathway to legal status, the A word comes up and the Tea Party gets more and more challenges. So you know, we could talk about Clay Aiken until we're blue in the face, and we are talking about Clay Aiken until we're blue in the face. But this is not a blue district. This is a red district. So maybe we talk about Frank Roach until we're red in the face, because he's the Tea Party challenger, and he's saying that Renee Elmers is just, you know, signing on to this amnesty. And this is the problem for the Republicans. Speaker John Boehner just forced the Republican Party in the House to vote on this clean debt ceiling bill. Only 28 Republicans voted for it, but the point is it passed the Republican-led House. Will John Boehner now push his Republican conference into voting for an immigration bill, given the fact that he's already upset so many in his conference? And that's the real question, whether we can even see an immigration bill. And that's, again, is the perils of taking a position on an issue that is so hotly contested on both sides of the Republican spectrum.
Well, we'll take a look at that when Congress comes back. Congress is on recess. What else should we look for when they return?
Well, let me think for a second. Nothing. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think the Republicans feel like, yes, the Democrats are talking about increasing the minimum wage. Yes, they're talking about immigration. Yes, they're talking about extending unemployment insurance. But the Republicans feel that every time we push an issue like that, it comes back to bite us. And what we should be focusing on is the Democrats and their problems with the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The Republicans feel that any kind of other issue is just to show fissures in the Republican Party. Let's wait until the November elections, when ostensibly we win control of the Senate, and then we could offer a big agenda in 2015. But right now, let's not rush into anything. They're not doing anything at all. But let's not rush into any kind of political passing any kind of legislation. Let's just focus on the Democrats, focus on Obama, and we'll beat Kay Hagan. We'll beat the Democrats in the House. And in 2015, there'll be a brand new day.
Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us regularly on this program. You can find out more and link to his column and scuttle button puzzle on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a new book on the masterful Louis Armstrong. Stay tuned to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.